The title of today's message from Proverbs chapter 8 is What Wisdom Cries Out, He Who Finds Me Finds Life. Here we have a personification of wisdom. As a woman calling out, she cries out. And what we need to understand this morning is the first point of the message. And that is that there is a battle for your attention and affection. There is a battle for your attention and affection. By attention, I mean what occupies your mind, your habits of thought. There is a battle for that. And you are being called in multiple directions by multiple voices. There are two that we are going to consider this morning. It's no accident that Proverbs 8 follows chapter 7, other than mathematical reasons. In Proverbs chapter 7, you have the description of the prostitute. And that is an analogy that is used numerous times in Scripture. Look with me at verse 23 of chapter 7. Look at verse 22. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver and a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Verse 26. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. This is a woman who called out to a man. And we come to chapter 8 and we're introduced to another woman. But what is the prostitute in chapter 7? Now, when we think of the word prostitute, we think of one particular profession, don't we? I want to encourage you this morning to understand the word prostitute in its broader, more basic sense. What does it mean to prostitute something? It means to debase something for a corrupt purpose. To debase something for a corrupt purpose. In other words, there is something that is good and noble, designed with purpose and parameters, that becomes abused for self-gratification or self-advantage. Let me go by that definition again. Something good and noble, designed with purpose and parameters, becomes abused for self-gratification or self-advantage. It started at the beginning of the human race. We see it with Adam and Eve. They were given the freedom to love God. And they debased their freedom to love God for what they thought was their independent pleasure. They prostituted their humanity. She is calling. That woman, she is calling. And her message is this: follow your own pleasures and forget God's loving purpose. That's her call. Pursue your own pleasures and forget God's loving purpose. And what you get, the result, the outcome from this woman's call, if you follow her call, you will get artificial satisfaction and superficial pleasure. And yet there is another woman. And we find her in Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? This is the opposite. This woman calls, instead of artificial satisfaction and superficial pleasure, this woman calls you to genuine satisfaction and ultimate pleasure. The call of two different women. The personification in Proverbs 7 and 8. And the second woman is called wisdom and understanding. What is wisdom? It is life according to design. It is what we would call success. Success means functioning according to design. There is a designer. There is a way that life was intended to work because of its design and its purpose. All of this that comes from the infinite personal creator. To whom does wisdom call? This woman. To whom does she call? Verse 2, she takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. First of all, she calls to humanity, to all mankind. What is man? We are volitional beings designed to love. That's who you are. You are a volitional being designed to love. Why do I say that? Because love, if it is love, is necessarily free and spontaneous. It is never coerced or programmed. You are, as a human being created in the image of God, you are a volitional being designed to love. And yet she continues, to you, O man, I call, my voice to the sons of men. Verse 5, O you simple ones, understand prudence. Simple ones. That is most often described of those who are still young. Those who are still very impressionable. It is the idea of open-mindedness. Open-mindedness in the sense of naivety. Of being uninformed, having an uninformed conscience, of being vulnerable to all kinds of information. So it is the negative sense of open-mindedness where you take everything in and you tend to believe whatever you hear. That is a negative open-mindedness. Open-mindedness is not an end, contrary to much of what we hear today. G.K. Chesterton said, the point of an open mind, like having an open mouth, is to close it on something solid. This is what wisdom calls us to. And she is calling to mankind, and you simple ones, and you fools. What is she saying about us? We have a tendency to believe things that are not good for us. And what is a fool? A fool is one who lives entirely for himself. Folly or foolishness, which is bound in the heart of a child, but you know, there are a lot of grown-ups today who have never outgrown that folly. Because to act with foolishness is to act without thought of consequence. What it'll do to you, what it'll do to others, what the outcome of such action will be. That is folly. And so she calls out to you fools, be of an understanding heart. You simple ones, understand prudence. And what is she saying? What does wisdom say as she calls out? Look with me at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. But that's part of it. That's a nutshell. Look what she says in verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Isn't that amazing? Those who seek me diligently will find me. This is wisdom calling out. Wisdom is to be sought. What is its source? Verse 13. It's the fear of the Lord. And what does she say to end it all? Look with me at the very end of the chapter, verses 35 and 36. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. All those who hate me love death. If you're listening, if you're not listening to the call of wisdom that begins with the fear of the Lord, then you are listening to the call of the prostitute who calls you to take something that is good and beautiful, designed with purpose and parameters, and to debase it for your own self-gratification or self-advantage. The calls are there. Let's consider some points at which we can arrive from this text before us this morning. The first one is this. This is point number two in your notes. We pursue what we desire and love. We pursue what we desire and love. To pursue means to follow after. We pursue what we desire and love. The statement goes, people do what they want to do. It's true, isn't it? And you know where it can be so subtly missed? Somebody gives you something to look into. Somebody gives you something to consider, something to read. A parent, you know, gives the child a directive. You need to take care of this before such and such a time. And the follow-up happens. Have you looked into this? Have you read this? Have you done this? And the person who has not done it or read it or looked into it will say what? I haven't had a chance. It is a lie. Most often. What they are saying is, it's really not something I'm excited about doing. You pursue what you desire and love. What you are in your thought world determines how you act. This is a biblical truth. It is a researched, it is a studied truth. However, there are many messages today that are trying to debunk this. What you are in your thought world determines how you act, and your thought world is that which you desire and love. Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks, so is he. This is why the writer of Proverbs also says in 4:23, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Jesus says exactly the same thing in the Gospel of Matthew. The truth of the matter is, you have a mind. You are not just the product of forces around you. You have a mind. And therefore you pursue what you desire and love. How do we know we have a mind and we are not just the product of forces? Because there's one simple little exercise that we can engage in right now. And that is that I can ask you right now, tell me what you're thinking. That means you can think about what you're thinking. That means you have the capacity to determine that upon which you think. Now go back to the point, we pursue what we desire and love. Listen, this is where the battle for your attention and your affection is fought. You have two women calling. Wisdom and understanding and the prostitute. Which one gets your attention? Two voices. Will you prostitute? Will you debase and corrupt your humanity? Or will you pursue that which produces life? You have that choice. Look with me at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. We pursue what we desire and love. So which path is it? And this is an exercise where we will where it is determined, where it becomes manifest. What is it that we desire and love most? Because that's the issue. And so we begin with knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is information. It is the messages that you receive. Truth, all truth is God's truth, if it is truth. But there are many messages that are being delivered that are not truth, yet they may be presented as truth. So it is one thing to have knowledge, but knowledge in itself is not the end, it is not the key. Knowledge does not equal wisdom. We all have information. We all have access to much of the same realms of information. But where does it go from there? After knowledge comes discretion. What is discretion? Discretion is to make a distinction, to separate. Is this information, is this message that I'm receiving, is it true? Is it beneficial and good? Or is it false and destructive? Is it evil? Which woman is this calling me in this information that I'm receiving? Let me give you an example of this. We all know that there are some competing worldviews. There is the worldview that comes from the revelation of God that there is an infinite personal creator who created all things. There is an opposing worldview that believes that everything happened by chance, and therefore there is no meaning, there is no purpose. If you're going to be logical with that worldview, let me show you an example of that. There was a woman who tweeted, wondering what she should do if she were pregnant with a child who had Down's syndrome. Richard Dawkins, who is the current champion of the naturalistic worldview that all things have happened by chance, tweeted this message back. Quote, abort it and try again. It would be immoral to bring it into the world if you have the choice. You see where discretion is necessary? Here is a message that is calling out. Abort it and try again. It would be immoral to bring this child into the world if you have a choice. Which woman is calling here? This is where discretion is necessary. But you see, what he is saying takes his world view to a logical conclusion. This is where we have knowledge and information, and this is where discretion is necessary. Is this true knowledge and information, or is it false? It has become very, very clear through the records of history that the causes of World War II were built upon moral Darwinism. It is good and necessary to get rid of lesser peoples and lesser races. It is part of the order of evolution. And as a result of that, millions upon millions lost their lives. You see where discretion is necessary. You have knowledge and then you have discretion. Is this true truth, or is this truth that is actually false? Because then the next step is this, prudence. prudence. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Prudence is sensibility. It means the capacity to think something through. If I follow this woman, if I heed her call, then it's going to take me to this end. If I hear this woman and I heed her call, then it will take me to this end. One offers death and destruction, and the other offers life. And prudence is the capacity to think through the information and take it to its logical conclusion. This is where this will take me. And we see a striking illustration of that in Dawkins' tweet, don't we? There is knowledge, there is discretion, and there is prudence. Once you've worked through knowledge and discretion and prudence, if you love life, then you will end up with wisdom. Wisdom goes beyond knowing. It's one thing to know truth. It's another thing to live life well. To live life according to design. According to its intent. That's what wisdom is. And where is it that the battle lies? The battle lies with prudence. Discretion and prudence. If you love wisdom, if that is anchored in the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of your infinite personal Creator, and you love Him and desire Him and the life He has designed, then you will end up with wisdom. However, the battle lies at the level of discretion and prudence. That's where the two women are calling. The one woman says, "You have passion and desire. Don't deny them. Do what you feel." And the question comes down to, what is it that you love? What is it that you love? Yourself and your own pleasure, or do you love something greater than that? This is where the battle lies. Knowledge is not the end. It is not the answer. In July of 2006, world famous geneticist William Anderson was convicted of child molestation charges. In a press conference, his attorney said, quote, "Nothing about having an IQ of 176 means you have good judgment." Do you hear wisdom calling, men and the sons of men, you fools, you simple ones, how we have such a tendency to heed the call of that which would destroy us? And yet wisdom on the housetops, at the intersections of life, wisdom is calling. He who finds me finds life. I love those who love me. We pursue what we desire and love. And that leads us then to this conclusion. If we pursue what we desire and love, then this also becomes true. What you love determines what you hate. What you love determines what you hate. There's a lot of nuance wrapped up in the word hate today, isn't there? Here is the very essential meaning of what love and hate mean in their biblical usage. To love something means to draw it near. To hate something means to push it away. Consider God's love. He draws us because He loves us. But what is it that God hates? That which is contrary to His character and His purpose. All the things that we have such a propensity to heed, the things that will destroy us. As wisdom says at the end of the chapter, those who hate me love death. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. What is at stake is our own destruction. And if we heed the one, we are inviting destruction to ourselves. If we heed the other, we are pursuing life in its fullness and meaning. What you love determines what you hate. What you draw near, what you desire, determines what you push away. Let me give you a very easy example of this. A runner aiming for the prize pushes away the donuts. The runner aiming for the prize, this runner wants to be in the Olympics and he wants to be the first one to chest the tape. If he's going to do that, he's got to push away all the things that will slow him down. That's the difference between love and hate. I want you to know, I need to make a confession. As after I was done studying this week, I had to make a run down Robin Hood Road, and that took me right past Dunkin' Donuts. But I resisted. And then I had to go up University Parkway, and right up there where I was going, I had to go right past Krispy Kreme. That was hard. Now, I could have justified that saying, you know, I'm not this runner. That's not the race I'm running. I'm not in the Olympics. That's not my race. Therefore, I'm okay with donuts. And I am. I was tempted to just go buy a dozen donuts just for this illustration. Just to let you know, that's not my race. That's not the race I'm... Some people run that race and it's a good race. But if they're going to be serious about that race, they're pushing away the donuts, aren't they? Now, what race are you running? Are you pursuing life? What you love determines what you hate. What you draw near, what you pursue, determines what you push away. Because that runner, if he forgets what his pursuit is and he just wolfs down a dozen donuts on a regular basis, he's sabotaging his objective, isn't he? He's sabotaging his purpose, his ability to realize that. Those donuts do not help, but they hinder his purpose. And that purpose is good. What's your donut? You probably have more than one of them, but what's your donut? What's calling you? Because that donut's calling, isn't it? It was calling me very, very strongly the last couple of days. You have voices calling you. One of them invites you to take something which is good and noble, designed with purpose and parameters, and debase it for your own self-gratification and your own self-advantage. That's the prostitute. And she's calling you to your own destruction. What's your donut? Is it a relationship? Is your relationship with somebody else just simply for my pleasure? I was watching a show on BBC the other night. One reason I like to watch BBC is because there's no commercials. I hate commercials. Except during the Super Bowl, of course. But it was, you know, this show about this another doctor. And he was, you know, he and this other woman were interested in each other and they were on the day of their wedding and everybody was gathered in the church and he goes to her house to drop off a note or she goes to his house to drop off a note and he's sitting in his house. Neither of them show up at the wedding and they stand up and they face each other. How come you're not there? And the statement comes down to this. You can't make me happy. You can't make me happy. Really? Is that what marriage is? I will only marry the person who can make me happy? It's a lie. If you're in a relationship only with those who can make you happy, you are prostituting relationship. Painkillers. They have a good purpose, but we can abuse them. Vocation. My vocation has a good purpose, but I can abuse it. My vocation was given to me to serve humanity and to provide for loved ones. But I can prostitute my vocation to simply hoard for myself for self-gratification and security. Was that not the case of the rich fool who hoarded for himself and found his security and his pleasure in that? Rest easy tonight, for you have it made. And the Lord called him what? You fool. Why was he a fool? Because he was not rich toward God. He missed, utterly missed, the meaning and the purpose of life. He prostituted his humanity. We can prostitute our intellect when we end up manipulating others with it versus helping them. We can prostitute our influence by seeking to control others instead of leading them. We can even prostitute something so basic and intrinsic as our own attitudes. Selfish ambition. There is a colleague who I consider to be an obstacle to me. Therefore, I will pursue to get rid of that colleague so that I can further myself. That's the prostitute versus the mind of Christ, wisdom calling that says, consider others more important than yourself. What's your donut? What's calling you? That if you think through it and where that attitude or behavior will take you, will lead you to destruction. It will impede your objective to know God. You see, in life, it's not so much about what you do. Listen to this, please. This is the message of the proverb. It's not so much about what you do. There is something more fundamental than what you do. It's about what you love. Christians, listen, this is why God has revealed himself to us. Because were it not for God making himself known to us, we would be doomed to pursue only the things that destroy us. What then should I love and hate? The proverb reveals this to us as well. But we're out of time this morning, as I predicted we would be. We will pick up next time with this understanding, the next point, and that is that good is defined by purpose. And there is a beginning point. Verse 13 has it right in the middle of the chapter. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. What a challenge.